Hello, everyone, and welcome. Discover Rising Tides, How the Outside Makes the Inside Better. And I'm Jean Gallagher, and we're talking with Denise Tagal. Hey, Denise.
Hey,
And this month's topic is understanding menopause and hormones. We never have enough time to have this conversation because nobody's talking about these things. And this segment, you're going to be talking about diet and hormone health.
I'm going to talk a little bit, yes, diet and hormone health, but also I'm going to add lifestyle in here
Oh,
because
good.
diet and lifestyle go together. We really do. I sometimes I think, oh, let's separate it, but they really do go together. Because if you're living a healthy lifestyle, you're eating good food, you're eating whole foods. And that really is critical to overall health. So if your overall health is good, your menopausal health will be healthier than if you were eating a lot of crap. And then that's one of the things. Foods that, processed foods, they have all of these different additives and
Chemicals.
chemicals, preservatives, all this stuff in them that are, many of them are known as hormone interrupters. And so if they're interrupting the hormones that are already screwed up, we need to make sure that we are eliminating those. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm really passionate about that. Why whole foods? Why? Obviously, because natural
Because
foods
Denise
give,
says so.
because I said so. Eat real food. Real food gives you the nutrition that your body needs, the protein, the carbs, the fat. Yes, people do need carbs. And all of the micronutrients, vitamins A, B, C, all of those, we need those. And you can get those in your food. Leafy greens, all of those nutrient-dense foods, vitamin D, magnesium, all of those. What does magnesium do? Oh, I don't know. What does magnesium do? Oh, it helps with your thyroid hormone. There's another hormone for you, right? Regulates cortisol. Regulates cortisol, manages stress. Too high cortisol, also a challenge with hormones of estrogen and progesterone. So again, all of this goes together. Of course, natural detoxification of your body. If you live on planet Earth, there's something that is, out there, whether it's in the air, whether it's in some of the foods that we're eating, pesticides, those kinds of things. Our body actually detoxifies itself. And you don't really need to go on a big, long detoxification. I'll talk about that another time, because your body already does that. But it needs to be, we need to help it out, right? We need to eliminate like some of the excess hormones that are in some of the foods that we could be eating, specifically estrogen. We don't want to have extra estrogen, right? So a lot of dairy, where's your dairy coming from? Is it organic? All of those kinds of things. Same thing with chicken. Hormones, no hormones. We want to avoid extra added hormones that we're putting into our body. And then of course, anti-inflammatory properties of leafy greens. Absolutely essential. Chronic inflammation is one of those things that we know causes many, many diseases and can disrupt your hormone balance. So let's get rid of the inflammation by making sure that we are eating those leafy greens, those really healthy foods, vegetables and foods. Fatty fish. We talk about this all the time. Omega-3 fatty acids, acids, not acids. They support hormone function, helps your brain.
Well, I
You
didn't realize
your
that there's so many, we talk about omega-3 quite often, but I didn't realize that they affected your hormone levels too.
they support hormone production. So if you don't have enough of these, we know hormone production is changing at this stage in our lives. So we need to help it out as much as possible. And so yeah, adding the omega-3s, and it really is about eating the fatty fish. There are studies that say that, just taking a omega-3 supplement isn't really cutting it. It's better than nothing. But truly, if you're paying attention, you really want to make sure that, you're feeling good through menopause. We do need to add those omega-3 fatty fishes. And I always say salmon because some of the other fish that are high in omegas are kind of icky, like mackerel and sardines. Sorry if you love mackerel or sardines, but just not my thing. And of course, I mentioned the sugar and the processed foods. They really affect mood swings, and they affect hot flashes. Sorry, I was like, brain fog. Sometimes that happens too with menopause. We haven't talked about that. But occasionally that actually is something that people experience during menopause is that little brain fog thing. And mostly we find I find sources that say that the brain fog really is because of the amount of processed foods and the amount of sugar people in this country have in their diet. It's really incredibly easy to eat processed foods and avoid, it's easy. We know that. Eating real foods, eating whole foods takes a little bit more time, but you really do get the bang for your buck. And so I always say, I encourage the 80-20 rule. I'm starting to get to a phase in life where I'm more like, how about 90-10? We want to have a balanced diet. I'm never going to stop eating donuts and pizza. I don't eat them all the time, but that's my 10%. If I want a donut, when I had a donut, I have a donut. I had a donut a couple of days ago. I was at the airport. They had a Dunkin' Donuts, my favorite jelly donut. And I can eat that and not feel guilty about it, but also
Moderation.
know, right, one donut, but also know that that one donut is not going to send, my hormones completely off the chart.
Lifestyle changes, lifestyle, how we do, what we do, what our activity level affects all of this too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Daily exercise, we have got to move. Our bodies, like humans, were meant to move. When you think, go back to the Serengeti where, people began. People, they were walking around. They were nomads. They were always moving. Why were they moving? One, because they had to find food. Two, they were trying to keep away from getting eaten by, who knows, tigers, lions, bears. I don't think they have bears there. Tigers, lions, any of those things. Hyenas, that was the other one. So we're meant to move, and we need that. We need that for hormone balance. We need it for mood enhancement. Again, remember, we were talking about the mood swings that progesterone, low progesterone causes. Well, just going outside and being out in nature, it's a natural hormone booster. It's a new a natural, sorry, mood enhancer. And when our mood is uplifted, all of those other hormones start to uplift as well. So, find joy in being outside, dancing, walking, whatever it is. It's snowing right now, so I probably won't go outside today. I've been outside already. But being able to move, like go up and down the stairs, do something in your house to make sure that you're always moving. I'm from New York, so I do this a lot. So I burn a lot of calories just by moving my hands. But obviously, the other thing is the more we move, the more we can maintain our healthy weight, which again, with hormones and menopause, weight gain, it happens. It's just one of those things. Like, yes, there are some women who are in their 50s and 60s who are just in incredible shape. And then there are other women who are struggling with their weight and their mood. Again, everyone's different. Maybe that person who's in, seems to be doing great. Maybe they're doing something different, and we need to learn what they're doing. My best friend from college is in the best shape of her life, and she's not dealing with meno belly. Now she had other issues at one point, but she's learned how to manage them. And at this stage in life, she's it kind of in that a new phase of menopause. So, yeah, daily exercise is important for that hormone balance, also for stress. Stress, sleep. The more we move, the more our, the more, at the end of the night, when it's 10 o'clock, it's time to go to bed, we're tired. So even if our hormones are kind of messing up, or kind of up and down, and it's affecting our sleep patterns. If we're tired because we've exercised and we've done all of this physical activity, your body is going to say, "I'm tired. I need to sleep." So that's really, really an important factor also. So all of these, again, I always say all of this is connected. The pillars, I call them the pillars of success, with Healthy Living, Happy Life, which is my book and the name of my program. Eat real food, make good decisions, and be accountable. Everything that we're talking about fits into one of those three categories or themes. So eat real food, that's the first. Make good decisions. Part of making a good decision is we need to understand what it is that we're dealing with. And that is doing the research on our own, going to see our doctors, having these conversations. And
Finding
then
a
the
health
accountability.
advocate.
Absolutely. And then the personal accountability is now that you've got this information, doing something about it. And I guess the last piece I would add, when it comes to lifestyle, not necessarily change, but something that's really important in our lifestyle is community and support. This is such a great place for people to connect with other women, connect with other women. You and I have great conversations. Your guests on, our guests on the second portion of Discovering Rising Tides always have great information to connect women together and for women to go, huh, you know what? That's me. I need to talk to that person. And we're always available. Our websites are there, our email addresses, our telephone numbers. So people can always connect with us. And we can then connect them to the people that we think would be most helpful. At Living Healthy List, that's what I do. That's why my business is actually called Living Healthy List, because I may not be the right person to help somebody, right? But I
But you
know.
have the connections in all the different areas that people are going to need to know about,
Right. And
and those
so there's that
experts.
community. Yes. And so that's community. So if this is something that you are really looking for, you're struggling, there's a community out there. Connect with Jean, connect with me, and we're here to help you in that next phase of your life.
Thank you, Denise. Hello, everyone. This is Jean Gallagher, Discover Rising Tides, and I want to just take a moment to talk about my friend, Denise Tagal. I am honored to call her as a friend, and I'm so grateful that she gives us her insight during our shows, each show, and talks about healthy living, eating real food. You hear Denise say, "Eat real food," a lot. Well, she means it, and she knows what she's talking about. She is an amazing healthy living coach, curator at Living Healthy List. And if you ever have any questions about what is real food? Why does it matter? How does that apply to me? How do I change? What do I need to do? How do I even create a healthy living shopping list? Make sure that you call her. She is your healthy living coach, and you can find her at healthylivinglist.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Jean Gallagher, founder of Discover Rising Tides, and welcome to Discover Rising Tides, How the Outside Makes the Inside Better, where we explore the importance of the outdoors and maintaining life balance. And through this series, we will be talking with women business owners to understand their journey. And our guest today is a repeat guest. I'm really excited about this. And Luann, oh, as I stumble over your name, Luann was here on our previous show, and we're just give us a quick little recap of your bio, and then we're going to talk about your I Hug movement, which is going to be really exciting.
And I'm trying to remember what I said the last time. Isn't that funny?
That's okay. It's just give us a quick bio of your background.
So my company's PMC Events and Coaching, but I teach from a tool called the Passion Test, which you'll see behind me. I'm pointing in the wrong direction. And my efforts, my goals are to help people live their passions and live a life that's more joyful and less struggle and stress and anxiety.
I really loved that conversation about the passion test, and really one of the things that I wanted to touch on before we head off into the I Hug movement is how that helps people, individuals, but also how it helps businesses, but also how it can help the education system.
Oh, right. So that's where we landed last time.
Mm.
So the passion test is a simple yet powerful system that helps people uncover their passions, sort of like peeling back the onion, right? And when we get clarity on where we're going and what we want in our life, then we make better decisions based on those passions. So we say, whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, consistently choose in favor of your passions. And it's silly that we should need that to make good decisions, but it's very powerful and works very powerfully for people in their personal lives. And when we do it in a business, it's about the core values of the business. So we use the tools of the passion test to identify their top five passions for the work they're doing in the business. And then we turn those into core values. We base every decision we make on those core values. It lays the foundation for creating culture in an organization. It attracts the right customers and employees, team members, whatever language you want to use, because we're operating off the same values, right? And so we're attracted to other people who have the same values that we do. And ultimately, in education, where students in still in high school or in college, helping them to make decisions on what college they want to go to, what kind of career path do they want to take? And it builds great confidence in them when they know for sure that this is from their heart, that they're making the decision from their heart of what they want in their future life. And so we have a tendency to be comparing ourselves all the time to other people and making decisions based on other people's recommendations, like they're smarter than we are. And the reality is, we should listen to our hearts. And so it helps people to do that and step out of comparing or choosing because of someone else. You know, parents say we can do, be, and become anything we want to, but they set a different example and they stay in jobs that they don't like because they think they have to pay the bills or for one reason or another, or, you know, because they went to school for 10 years to become that profession, and then they get into it and they find they don't like it, but they stay there because they think they have to, you know? And so kids don't really have the confidence that I can really go out and do, be, and become anything I want. I think it's missing because we don't set the right example for them. Now, that's shifting, but historically, I'm specifically thinking of my father. My father said to me, I remember sitting on the floor in the kitchen filling out college applications. And he said to me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, I don't think I have a choice. You're a teacher. I'm supposed to be a teacher. And he said, "No, go do something else." Well, what he wanted from his heart was for me to have more and have an easier life than he did, raising seven children on a teacher's salary, which was even less back then, right? So from his life experience and his viewpoint of the world, right, he was like, "No, don't be a teacher." Well, by golly, I am a teacher at heart. But he sent me another direction out of the goodness of his heart and how much he loved me, right? And that's what people, how people advise us based on their life experience and their view of the world instead of necessarily ours and where we should be going. And we have to have the confidence to believe in ourselves and step out and be our authentic selves and do that. So it took me years to really come back around. I went through a whole career in the hospitality industry before I came back to, I want to teach. And then I taught for a little bit at a professor level at UW Stout. And then I stepped out of that because it was too difficult to. The transportation part of it was too difficult. And it was years later when I was already into coaching for probably 5, 10 years. And someone said to me, "Luann, you're a teacher." And I'm like, "I am a teacher, aren't I? Just because I don't have a teaching certificate the way my sister does or the way my dad did, just because I don't teach in a classroom doesn't mean I'm not a teacher. I am a teacher still at heart."
Following your authentic self.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I found the passion test message, I really stepped into it because I want to live that way. I wanted to shift my life from the struggle and the rat race and the chaos and step into living my passions. And I knew it in the certification training that weekend. Right away, I was like, I found my people. I found my tribe. And I want to hang out with people that think like this. And everything has transformed because of it. And I'm in a whole different space than I ever imagined I would be. And so I really want people to know that they can have the courage to step into that. And we say the passion test isn't taken just once and never again, that it's a journey of gaining clarity and peeling back that onion and really building that confidence in, yes, this is where I belong. And I can feel it. And I know I'm in the right place and doing the right things.
And so that courage that you found and that authentic self that you found has trickled over into some other areas, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a boldness that you create, right? The more you're doing it in your own way and authentically, I say when you get connected to your life's flow, everything comes easier. I also have learned to trust my intuition way more than I ever did before, that it's not about the people out here giving me advice and doing things. It's about the voices in here that guide me, right? And so the message of the I Hug movement really came from one of those moments where I've heard a voice inside me say, Luann, you have to take your I Hug movement bigger. And I Hug across America in 2020 during the presidential campaign to offset the political polarization with connection, kindness, love, and the simple human hug. That we can agree to disagree and still be kind and loving to one another. And Lord knows in 2024, our political arena is set up just like it was in 2020 and even worse. And so I want to bring the movement back to the surface and spread it. So my original idea was that I needed to I hug across America. And my new idea is I just need hug ambassadors, huggers all over the country that want to engage in this. And so
go ahead.
Start with this little pin. This little pin says I hug. It's the cover of my book as well. And a gentleman spoke at a transformational event that I was at. I believe it was a passion test summit. And he spoke about the I hug button and why he created that. And he gave all of us a button. And he was really had gone to a Jack Canfield Success Principles seminar. And he was a young businessman. And he steps into this conference of like 600 people. And the first exercise Jack Canfield has him do, has the whole group do, is go hug as many people as you can. For the first 15 minutes, that's all we're going to do. And Robert was mad. His name is Robert McPhee. Robert was mad. He's like, I came here for a business seminar. What is this about hugging? Hugging was never in his family. It was never common. And he was like, oh, so upset. Well, he did it anyway. Good for him. He did it anyway. And he said, Luann, the whole room shifted. The energy of the room went from uptight, stressed out, right? People afraid to talk to each other, to this really loving energy space where we could all relax into learning. Well, Jack set that up on purpose, right? He wanted them to be an open heart so they could really learn from that space. And that's actually the foreword of the book that I wrote. But I started wearing the pin everywhere because I am a hugger and I was warning people, if you get in my space, it's going to happen, right? And so what I found, though, is not only that, but that people would see me across a hotel lobby on an airplane, and I'd forget I was even wearing the button. And they'd say, I hug too. Am I giving you a hug, sweetheart? Yes, I do. Okay, great.
What do you think it is that changed the energy in the room? Why did it change?
Well, it literally, there's scientific evidence, and it's in the book, that our body hormones shift, right? And it produces more happiness hormones when we have a hug. And so energetically, we're all shifting individually. And then think of it when you've got a room of 600. You know, energy is palpable. I tell people, you know, when I do business work with them, if you've got a negative energy in your team, anybody who walks in your office can feel it. They might not recognize it. They might not know why, but they'll feel it. They'll feel the tension or they'll feel the joy. So what kind of place of business do you want people to walk into? Right? One that's joyful. People are attracted to people who are joyful and happy because they want to be there too.
Why are we so resistant to hugging, or why are some people more resistant than others? But especially when we're in a group of people that we don't know, and like you were talking about, expecting to have a business conversation, and now we're reduced to hugging.
So there's a chapter in the I Hug book as well about business and hugging. So everybody knows I'm a big part of BNI, and Dr. Ivan Meisner is our founder and chief visionary officer. And he's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council with me. I'm there because of him. Anyway, he was never a hugger before either. And he had to learn and be comfortable with it. And so the chapter about him is that he started to ask people, can I give you a hug? Right? In a business environment, is it okay if I give you a hug? I don't ask.
Beware.
That's what he needed to do. You know, yeah, my button kind of gives it away. You know, and I want everybody to be wearing buttons someday, right? That we're all identifying, self-identifying that I am a hugger, so it's okay, right? But yeah, so he just asks people to make sure it's okay. I've only had one person in my 20 years of this work that I'm doing in the world say to me, don't touch me. You know, and I had to apologize, right? I'm like, okay, you know. So I did get off starting to do the I Hug movement because a friend challenged me. So the idea came to me in the fall of 2019. And she said to me, you can't do that. You can't go around hugging people. Somebody's going to hurt you. Like, somebody's going to hurt me. Why would anybody hurt me? I'm 4'11", blonde, and I'm just giving out hugs. Why is that scary, you know? And she's like, you just don't get the political world, Gwen. They're going to hurt you. Somebody's going to hurt you. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to do this thing, right? I was convinced. She said, I dare you. I dare you to go to the Trump rally in Minneapolis and hug people. I said, okay. Bought myself a sweatshirt so it was bigger that said free hugs. Wore my button, created, I got on today stickers, because I created a sticker, like I vote sticker that says I hug. And everybody I gave a hug to, I gave them a sticker. And I didn't know what was happening while this was taking place, but the city of Minneapolis did a really cool thing. And they funneled all the Trump supporters into one side of the building through the Minneapolis Skyway system. And so the front door of the convention center was blocked with a fence so nobody could do some damage or protest or what have you, right? So there's about a 2-block radius that was all fenced in. Well, I arrived early enough and I'm following the people to the entrance on the other side and ended up in the whole Trump world and I'm hugging people. And you know what they said? They said, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for coming. This is what the world needs today. And I'm like, just hugging people. There are a few skeptics that would stand back and go, what are you up to? I'm just giving out hugs. Just giving out hugs. My son was there and he was yelling, free hugs here. Get your free hugs here. And people would step out of their long lines and come over and give me a hug and make those whispers in my ear. We're so glad you're here. This is what the world needs now. And then one person whispered in my ear and said, you got to go to the other side of the building. You got to go to the other side of the building. That's where the people are angry and upset. And I'm like, what's on the other side of the building? What's happening? Well, by the time I get over to the other side of the building again, it is packed with people who are wearing black bandanas, like masks before we needed masks, blowing whistles and carrying signs that said hate never cured hate. And I'm going, then why are you acting that way? Because you are acting in a form of hate with the behavior. But I didn't say anything to anybody. I just showed up, free hugs on the shirt, and I hugged people over there too. And they said the same thing. Oh my gosh, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. This is what the world needs right now. And I'm like, we all agree if we could just talk about it, you know?
Right.
We all want that more peace, joy, less of this strife that's going on, right? And some, I had also made little signs that said free hugs on them, like on the end of a popsicle stick, you know, whatever. And the people were putting down their hate never cured hate signs and picking up my I hug, my free hug sign, and going into the audience or the group of people and hugging people. I must have been interviewed no less than a half a dozen times that day, but nobody would put me on the news because I wouldn't pick a political party. They all
I can understand that.
Yeah, they all said, well, who are you aligned with? I'm like, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. I am not telling you anything of my political views. I'm just giving out hugs to change the energy of the space we're living in. I went to a Pete Buttigieg rally in New Hampshire. I went to the Iowa caucuses before the pandemic hit in March of 2020 and shut the whole thing down. At the Pete Buttigieg rally, there was a representative from every country, a news representative from every country, I swear. And they would talk to me, but they wouldn't write the story.
Wow.
The Fox News guy had his big old microphone in my face on my ihugmovement.com website. I have a picture of it. And after he heard my message, he put the microphone down and he said, well, I can't get that on the news, so I'll just tweet about it. And he picked up his phone and interviewed me on his phone so he could tweet about it. But he couldn't get it on Fox News.
Because you wouldn't pick a side.
Because I wouldn't pick a side. And there was one woman there too who comes up to me with her arms crossed, you know, the inevitable sign of I don't hug.
Right.
She walks up to me, she goes, okay, I'm not a hugger, but I gotta know what you're doing. Like, what, you wacko lady, what are you doing hugging everybody in here? You know? And I said to her, the story, I said, look, it's simple. We can agree to disagree and we can come together around a simple human hug. And I just feel like lots of people need more hugs in the world. Don't you agree? And she said, yeah. And she dropped her arms. And I said, do you want a hug? And she said, yes, I do.
Wow.
Try hugging someone in the middle of an argument. You can't continue the argument. The whole energy changes if you give that person a hug. And we calm down. And we can have a more reasonable conversation.
You know, that's really interesting as we're, and so this is not by far, not even a political conversation, but it is a conversation around the adversarial thoughts that we all have, right? And so as we're stepping into, and this is really why I wanted to have this conversation separate from our other conversation, because it's just so important. As we're stepping into another season of political decisions, That really bleeds down to the kitchen table.
Yeah, totally does.
And how many families have conflict? And we use the political topic as a identifier of the differences between people and the divides that it creates. But you could think about this in any other way. If there's a situation, your adolescents versus the adults, there's always going to be a divide there somewhere and somebody's going to be angry. But if, what would it take? How do we come to a situation and say, and have these challenging conversations or stop having them and hug instead? What is the answer?
So interesting that at the Transformational Leadership Council conference we had just a couple of weeks ago, there was an exercise that we did around having difficult conversations.
Wow.
And the exercise was, they sat us at round tables, so small groups of six to eight people, And they said the facilitator is going to ask everybody a question, and everybody needs to answer the question. Can say whatever they want. They've got 60 seconds to give their opinion on that situation, or what have you. And nobody else can talk. Nobody else can respond, jump in, step over their toes. You just have to listen. And everybody needs to say something different. Like, I can't pick up and say, yes, Jean, I agree with Jean. Jean, this, you know, and reiterate your point. I need to say something different. And we found, and this really was the intention of what they were trying to create, because after we went around the table and each answered, then we said, they said, okay, how did that make you feel? What did you learn? What do you want to share with others, kind of thing, right? And the question was, just share with us a difficult conversation you've had and how that went, basically. And the first six people at my table, well, they talked about different things and from different angles, but they all ended up on the conversation of the war in the Middle East. And when they got to me, I went, okay, I understood the assignment is that we all supposed to talk about something different. So I'm going to leave that subject matter. And I was, what popped into my head was, when I have a difficult conversation, it's typically with my husband and someone I love. And that's when it digresses. So then when I thought about how did that make me feel? Well, it makes me feel in pain, separation, fear of losing him, of our marriage breaking up or what have you, you know what I mean? And it's like, we get ourselves into our own situation like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Being angry with him, and then the situation digresses. And so ultimately we came away with, we need to always speak from a space of love. We need to always speak from a space of love, and love in our heart, and love for that other person. In the passion test, we say, I love you and I love me, and this is how I feel right now because of what's happening. So it doesn't, and not everybody's going to say those words, but to come from that space, I love you and I love me, and we should all love each other, right? And therefore, I'm just going to tell you how I feel in this moment. I'm not going to blame you or somebody else, right? Shame, blame, and separation are what keep us apart. And that if we can come from that space of love always, it brings that conversation back from a level of heated anger, that kind of thing, right? And so I even taught myself, I'm like, I need to do that. I need to remember every time I'm having a challenge with whatever we're discussing to my husband and I, that I think that in my head, I love you and I love me. And why do I feel the way I do right now about this situation?
Interesting. So let's, can we use this in an example? I know you just did, but let's use it in an example, like around the kitchen table, we have, or the dining room table. We have a group of family in there, and let's just use the political differences, because everybody can identify with that. And so how do you take a conversation?
Can I share a different story?
Oh, of course.
Let's say we all work together as a team. And something comes up, it needs to be done right away. It needs to be done like by tomorrow morning. And if I come to you and say, Jean, I need you to stay late at work today because this has to be done by tomorrow morning, you know, then Jean's got some important she needs to do this evening. And she's like going, no, like, no, why are you dumping this on me, right? And instead, you know, if I go, so Jean, here's the situation. We have this project that needs to be done by tomorrow morning. Here, how would you like to handle it? Would you like to stay later? Would you like to get it in the morning and help me get this completed? How can we work it out so we both win? Different space than coming at somebody with more of a demand. You know what I mean? And I think that when I watch political discussions, that's what people are doing. They're really demanding that we know better, we're smarter.
And that everybody should be thinking like them.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. So then the whole conversation came up of there is no right or wrong. That's a deeper conversation for people to get into I look at it in a different way and I say, how could I possibly know that I'm right? How could I possibly know that I'm right about anything? Right? There's a master plan in this universe and it ain't me making it. Right? And so the other thing we have to do is stop the need to be right.
Ah.
Stop the need to be right.
The ego.
The ego. Exactly. Another one of my mentors talks about that, you know, the ego self. Set this ego aside and come from that space of love.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So just as a recap, because these points are so important. So coming from a space of love.
Yep.
And expressing how you feel, but not using blame.
Correct.
And you don't need to be right.
Right.
Or convince anybody else that they're
correct.
Wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, a quick fun perspective story.
Yes.
I had which is another thing I teach, like everybody comes from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And we could have all been in the exact same environment, in the exact same moment, and have a completely different perspective of what happened. My sisters and I historically argued about a vacation we had that I thought was the worst vacation ever, and they thought was the best vacation ever. And we all have our reasons why.
And you're all in the same place.
We were all in the same place at the same time. And I'm like, ladies, I'm never having that argument again, because I got to tell you an experience that I had to know that that is so true, that we can be in the same place and time and come from two different perspectives. A good friend of mine called me up and she said, Luann, I need to do the passion test again. I'm like right now? And she's like, right now. I'm like, okay, well, you know the process. Do you have your 10? She goes, yep, I have my 10. So she gives me this list of 10 phrases that we do in the passion test process. And I take her through the process to get to her top five. And when we're done, she goes, okay, thank you. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What just happened here? And she said, well, you know, I have like five different home-based businesses. And I feel like I should have a home-based party every night of the week because of that. But on Thursday nights, my grandsons play soccer. And I want to be at the field with my grandsons. If I'm at the field, I'm beating myself up that I'm not at the party. If I'm at a party, I'm beating myself up because I'm not with my grandsons. And today, my grandsons rose to my number one passion, so I'm never going to have that argument in my head again. And I'm going to go watch my grandsons. I'm like, well, that's so cool. That's so cool. So silly that we needed to have a process to help you make that decision, but so cool. And I tell that story over and over again in workshops and speaking like this. Mm-hmm. And she comes over to my house and we're having a little Christmas party and she's the only one that is here and we're sitting on the couch chatting. And she said, oh, Luann, by the way, I want to tell you something. That's not what happened.
Oh,
I'm like, what do you mean? As clear as you're sitting on my couch, this is exactly what happened. And she said, well, I don't care if you keep telling that story because it's a good story. But that's not what happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, you are going to have to prove to me that that didn't happen that way because I'm so convinced. Why am I so convinced? I'm so convinced because I've told the story over and over and over again. And we all know anytime you tell a story over and over and over again, you can embellish on it a little bit.
Well, a little, yes.
Anyway, so she said, well, here's the deal, Luann, I can prove it to you. My grandsons don't live in the same city that I live in. I could not possibly go to their soccer games every Thursday night. And I'm like, oh my God. I said, did you get what you needed that day when you called me? Oh yeah, she said, all good. I got exactly what I needed that day. But it wasn't just like your story. I sat back for a minute and I thought about it. I go, okay, what is the lesson in this? Here's the lesson I came up with. In that moment in time, God gave me the message I needed for the day, that wonderful story that I could tell over and over again. And he gave her what she needed in the moment to learn whatever that was. And we were in the exact same moment, but we had two different results. And it's all good.
Interesting. That's fantastic. So before we close, tell us a little bit more about your book. You've referenced it a couple of times, but give us the lowdown.
So the I Hug Movement book, or excuse me, the I Hug book, My Journey as a Hugger, is available on Amazon print on demand, and it's a combination of transformational message on why the value of a human hug, scientific information, and stories of my experiences wearing the button that are just fun. You could read any one chapter and just smile. It'll just bring a smile to your face. I often think it should be on the table in a chiropractic or a dental office that people could pick it up, read one chapter while they're waiting for their appointment, and it would make them smile. That would be awesome. So if you have one of those offices, go buy a book, share it with your clients. They'll love you for it. And the ihugmovement.com is my website where you'll hear more stories. And the one article I got written in the Star Tribune by a columnist is there as well that you can read about our journey. But what I really want most is for huggers all over America to step up and volunteer, to be hugging in their communities around this political season this year. And so we can, the more people that are doing it, the more energy we can shift in the universe, right? The whole world by bringing together. And just so it's courage to step up and say, I'm going to give out free hugs. I'm soon to have an apparel store that will say I Hug on it. And so you can mark it with a pin or with a t-shirt or sweatshirt or whatever and wear it around and let people know that you're a hugger and that we can change and shift the energy around the current polarization in our country. So
Well, it's
there's a page they can fill out to say, I'm going to volunteer to do this. And we'll even
perfect.
send you a little kit that says, here's some of the things you can think about doing, right? In order to rally people and have hug sessions.
What a pleasure. What a pleasure. So, ihugmovement.com, be a hugger, sign up as a hugger ambassador,
Yeah.
and make a difference. Let's shift the energy.
Awesome. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening today. Today's show is sponsored by Seaside Solutions, my financial services company. As a business owner, it's easy to be pulled in many different directions, and often taking care of yourself plummets to the bottom of the list. For me, I find myself outside to reground. My time outdoors helps me manage my day more effectively and be more present for my clients. Through this, Discover Rising Tides was born. At Seaside Solutions, we truly believe that education is the foundation of financial wellness. Our primary focus is to provide guidance that is designed to help you achieve your long-term financial goals and visions. Working with a plan allows space for doing more things that you love, like being outside to make the inside better. If I can help you create or realign your plan, or if you would like to be added to my weekly newsletter, please let me know. This week's topic was 5 ways to set more achievable goals. Your referral means the big, beautiful world to me. And if I can help, please let me know. And thank you so much for listening and see you next time.